through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy powerful hand. Great Lord, feed us now and evermore. Hymn number 276.
Whosoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word 20 of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. And I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will be in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God. For thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore, now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established, that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told to thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. One more phrase. Now after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines Susan. I believe this is the only example that we have in the Word of God, perhaps I'm wrong, of sitting before Jehovah. The thing that I enjoy in my heart in this connection is that this was the only proper position for David to take before God at this time. And you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus find ourselves in that same position? And how is God has promised to Christ, has rewarded him, has given him all those whom he has died for, all those whose sins he has borne, and the Lord Jesus has given unto us all those things that he has been given. It is the purpose of God the Father to give all that he has to his Son. He is to be the heir of all things. And the Lord Jesus will not take up that heirship without us. We are brought in as joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Now I think we have a bit of a picture and foreshadowing of this here with David. Because in David we have a man who was, as it were, no one. He was hidden there from the eye of man. And there in the wilderness he was watching over that flock of his father's. And he was learning lessons in watching over those sheep. And it must have been a wonderful lesson, because all alone he took the bear and the lion and he smote them. And often wondered what it would be like to be there watching a small group of sheep and have a lion rise up against them and have not another soul around to give any hand. But David evidently was learning lessons in the school of God, getting to know a little bit of what God's thoughts were for man. And you know, God's thoughts for us are far larger than what we would imagine. Ever since the sin of Adam put God at a distance from us, Adam ran and hid in the trees of the garden, our thoughts of God have been very small. We think, as Satan instructed us to think, that he's holding something back. Has God indeed given you or allowed you to do these things with this thought? That's been man's thought of God. But God's thought for us is grace. And what is grace? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve, when we don't deserve it. Unmerited favor, people have said. What does it mean, unmerited favor? We've done nothing to earn it. And so what is the proper response to grace? When we say, oh, you've given me this great grace, I won't ask for any more. That's our natural hearts that say that, don't they? We give a little bit of the proper response to grace here. God says to David, I picked you up from among the sheepfold, and I am, verse 7, I took thee from the sheepfold, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. This was God's thought, God's man. He picked him up when he was nothing and made him something. And God desired that David carry with him all through his life a remembrance of where he had been brought from. And I think one of the things that we find that really characterized David is that he did just that. Saul very quickly forgot that he was once hiding among the baggage and regarded himself as nobody. And very quickly, he took upon himself to offer and take on functions that were not his to do. Whereas David, what does David do? When the angel comes over and destroys, holds his sword over Jerusalem, David says, I have sinned, I and my household, and these sheep perish. Oh, he remembered what it was like. And he remembered where he was taken. And so God's thoughts are thoughts infinitely above ours. And his desire is to bring us into fellowship with him. And so now David sits down, and he's in the quietness of his kingdom here. And thought comes into his heart, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful for the ark to be verse 1, set in his house. And David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. His thought was, oh, my glory of my own house and my kingdom here is greater than that which is accorded to God. It was a right and a proper thought. And the first inclination is, do all that is in thy heart, from Nathan. But now we get the answer, not just man's thought, Nathan's thought immediately is speaking out, but God speaks to Nathan and gives him a message to bring David. He says, David, my thoughts are infinitely beyond yours. You're talking about building me a house? Oh, I'm going to build you a house. We cannot do anything for God. He's the creator, the maker of heavens and earth. What can we do for him? And so if we would offer to do anything at all, we must first recognize that this thought has preceded us. And God says, oh, I have a plan to build you a house. You know, I took these 10 people long ago, and I did it all before you. I lifted him up from a low place, tried to do the same thing. Was it possible? And I'm going to do it. I have desired long ago to build you a house. Now you're getting a thought in your head that you want to build me a house is something of an entirely different character. And so David begins to see, oh, God's thoughts are far greater than mine. I think that I want to build him a house. But here, he has it and has had it in his heart and has already begun the process of building me a house. And David is overwhelmed. Can I suggest that? We find Joshua lying on his face before God. We find Solomon on his knees speaking to God, the dedication of the temple. We find others in Scripture standing erect before God as we ought to. We have 2 feet, and God has made us as a creature to stand on 2 feet, our glory above other creatures. It's our normal position. But there was a time in David's life here when standing was not proper. Lying on his face would not have been proper. The only thing that David could do was overwhelmed by the sense of this great grace of God was to go in to the holy presence of Jehovah. And there he sits. The solemn thing, when David took that upon himself, to enter into the presence of Jehovah and sit. You know, when you walk into the presence of a king, you don't walk, some of us were watching this when the recent marriage some years ago, the queen over there in England, it was very interesting to see. When you approach a king, you don't ever turn your back. You approach when invited to approach, and you walk sideways or you walk backwards in order to avoid turning your back to a king. The protocol is not correct. And so there's a protocol that is correct when we enter into God's house, when we stand in his presence, we come as creatures who we are in our ordinary way. But there was, what I'm saying here is that David, there was a difference this time. David had now been overwhelmed by the grace of God. God's thoughts were revealed to him that were far greater than David's own thoughts. And what could he do? Could he stand up and say, I'm such a one that should receive no? He couldn't. He's overwhelmed. God's thoughts were infinitely greater than his. And could he lie down on his face? No, that's not proper at all. What can David do? He walks in there and he sits. You know, in the presence of the king, you don't sit until him sits. David walks in. Very solemn thing. It reminds one, doesn't it, of Esther walking into the presence of that king. She could not approach unless he reached out that scepter and touched her. And that would grant her way of approach. But now here is David, so overwhelmed at what has happened, that he does that which is proper to a creature. And he walks in and he sits. He sits before Jehovah. And that was on my heart. Can we sit before God? What does it mean to sit before God? Well, to sit before God is to walk in and say, as David, mine, verse 16. The Lord God, what is mine, though, that thou hast brought me hitherto? And you can range before God, saying, oh, there's nothing in me that has caused your goodness to be shown to me. And yet, this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God. But thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. He can compare himself with others and say, Lord, there've been great men, but now you've lifted me up to those same ranks. What's he compared to? Well, we've been made fellow citizens, fellow heirs with Christ, fellow citizens with the saints. We're partaking of that root and fatness of Abraham. We Gentiles have been brought in. Well, have you ever walked in before God and sat down and said, before God, who am I? I didn't deserve anything. And here it is, all the goodness you showered upon me because you made me a king, a priest, an heir with Christ. I have no words. The next verse, verse 18, what can they speak more to thee? For the honor of thy servant, verse 18, for thou knowest thy servant, O Lord. For thy servant's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all this greatness and made thee known all these great things. You know, to honor David's thoughts about the great things he was going to do for God. the house that he desired to build for God is forgotten. Now he's reveling in what God is toward him. But ask, what is the proper response to grace? Is it not to go back for more? Can we exhaust grace? Well, it tasted grace. God's delight is to show grace. Now let's think of grace as we try to define it in love and action. Love is one of the things that God is. God is light, and God is love. How do you and I come to experience as a practical fact in this world the love of God? Does it shine on us like light does? We come to know love as grace. The love of God in manifestation touches us as grace, kindness. And throughout the ages to come, it's the kindness of God that's going to be made known to us. His grace and kindness upon us. We read that in Jesus. And so, the proper response to grace, I believe, is to go back for more. And so David does this. He just opens himself up. He doesn't offer anything as though he were worthy of more, or try to earn more, or to speak of, oh, I could build you a house, God. No, there's no such thought here. He opens himself up before God, and that in the only position which he can. He can't stand there and speak to God. He can't stand there upright as though he were a faithful servant. You know, servants stand at the door. You get that. They clap their hands over in those far countries, and the servant suddenly appears standing there. The proper attitude of a servant is to stand. But David, he sat. He sat before the Lord. What have you done this? Have you gone into God and said, you know, I don't deserve a thing. I thank you, God, just for making me. If you hadn't made me, I wouldn't be here. I have to teach this to children as we go through life and say, you thank God today for making you. And sometimes we forget those little things. And if we forget that we're a creature, all sorts of unthankfulnesses can come up. But if we remember that we're creatures, we've not made ourselves, He's made us. And we reject the whole evolutionary thing that we're daily inculcated with in the world and in school. We just begin the day by saying, God, thank you for making me. If you hadn't made me, I wouldn't be here. And then the realization strikes us, oh, not only did He make me, He's bearing with me. I'm a sinner. There's all that is offensive in me that is just inimical to God's nature. God is holy, He's light, and I'm sinful. We say, oh God, I thank you. Now I'll send the Lord Jesus on my behalf. And He has taken on Him, the Lord, my sins. Oh, He changed His nature. You look up and you give thanks to God for that, and you realize, well, I don't deserve a thing. And then you realize His thoughts towards us. His thoughts are that we come back daily for more grace. Turn over Romans 5, a verse there. Much enjoyed this after I was saved. Lord, to enjoy the truth of being justified by faith, being able to do as Job couldn't do. Job said, how shall man be just with God? And I found out there was a way that man could be just with God. He could come bringing what Christ had done and say, oh, I can look up now and thank you for what Christ has done. What I couldn't do, Christ has done. Thank you. And now we walk in justified in God's presence. What's the result? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the verse I'm going to do. But by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice, or ready to read that, boast in hope of the glory of God. We have an access now by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Our daily standing, every day of our life, no matter what circumstances we're in, is purely and utterly grace. Our experience will contradict that all the time. We'll tell ourselves, well, you've lived real holy and righteously, therefore you're entitled to wonderful thoughts and certain privileges. No. My standing before God has been determined solely and utterly by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I, as a man standing here, have one thing that I deserve. That is hellfire. That is all that I deserve as a man standing before God. That's all I can claim. I stand up to God and say, give me my rights. My rights are to an eternal place in the lake of fire. But God be thanked. His grace has been manifested to me. That love has sent the Lord Jesus on my behalf. And I now stand before God as one who is the recipient of pure and utter grace. Now that is a grace wherein we stand daily, day by day, moment by moment. It is purely and utterly grace. Now, obedience and happiness go hand in hand. Well, that's a wonderful truth. You cannot be happy in a Christian pathway unless your obedience and following on in that practical holiness and sanctification of which we've been speaking. But, brethren, that's an entirely separate issue from the grace we are in these times. God's nature is love. He's manifested that to us in that grace that has come to us in Christ Jesus. We want to remind ourselves daily as we rise up in the morning that we stand by grace. And so we want to do what we're saying back here in our chapter, and that is to go in at times and just quietly sit before the Lord. Not to stand, but to serve Him. You know, daily we can just stand awaiting His orders, saying, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's a wonderful thing. But you know, that ought to be preceded, by sitting before the Lord. Just quietly sitting in His presence, realizing the greatness of what He is, the nothingness that we are, the wonderfulness of the work of Christ on our behalf, and the result for us. Well, I don't want to go on at length. The thought has been before me of sitting before the Lord. We need this, don't we? And we need this day by day. We've spoken of a practical sanctification, of a progressive sin. Certain things that need to be avoided. Certain things that we have to flee from. Certain things we occupy ourselves with day by day. And there are certain times when we want to come in to the presence of the Lord and just sit.
Sing together, please, number 10. Number 10. Crazy.